Our scripture passage today comes right in the middle of that story that we just sang so beautifully in our middle hymn, the story of when Israel was in Egypt's land, when the Hebrew people had been for centuries slaves in the empire of Egypt. Moses was called by God to go down and tell Pharaoh to let God's people go, and of course it didn't happen immediately. There was a series of plagues that occurred as a sort of contest between the God of the Hebrews and the powers of Egypt, each time God showing victory, but the Pharaoh refusing to let the people go. And finally, this story occurs on the eve of the 10th plague, the Passover. The meal that is described here is the beginning, the originating story of the Passover celebration that is still practiced throughout the world by our brothers and sisters of the Jewish faith. So I invite you to listen to this story from selected verses of the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this observance. And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this observance?' you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites went and did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This week begins the season of Lent, the 40-day journey toward the most important events of the Christian faith: Jesus' death on the cross, and 3 days later, his resurrection from the dead. Each year, Christians around the globe from all different backgrounds and languages set aside these 40 days of Lent as an intentional time of preparation through sacrifice, prayer, and introspection. This year at Spring Hill Presbyterian Church, as you've already heard, our season of Lent includes a take-home component as well. We'll be setting the table, preparing for the events of Holy Week. And each week along the way, through our scripture and sermons, we're going to reflect on who we're called to be and how we are called to live as people of faith in resistance to the empires of the world. You might not think of it as such, but we live surrounded by empires of all kinds. Empires of greed and power, empires of oppression and injustice, empires of fear and anxiety, empires of brokenness and sinfulness. Perhaps the most fearful of all, the empire of death itself. An empire is whatever tries to rule our lives, to take over and to take control, to stake a claim on who we are and how our lives matter or do not matter. The empires of this world operate in ways both seen and unseen. We are constantly surrounded by them. We wake up each day participating in their systems and values, often without even realizing it. Standing against the empires of this world is another entity, another power, another source of identity and authority, the kingdom of God. Throughout the entirety of Scripture, from the early pages of the book of Genesis through the final scenes in the book of Revelation, the witness of the Bible is filled with stories of people resisting the empires around them. People of faith casting their allegiance with the God whose rule is shown not through greed and oppression and violence, but through the gift of life and sacrificial love. Jesus' own death at the hands of the Roman Empire and his triumphal resurrection on Easter are perhaps the ultimate actions of resistance against the empires that surround us, conquering even the rule of death itself. And yet, we live in a world still where we cannot see that final victory. We live in a world where broken powers still seem to be in power, where fear and cruelty and violence still reign supreme. And so in this season of Lent, as we prepare to honor Christ's resurrection, it is fitting that we spend some honest time talking about empires and acts of resistance. The ancient Hebrew people knew all about empires. In their early history, they were forced into slavery at the hands of the first great superpower of the ancient world, the Egyptian Empire. They began as welcomed guests who crossed Egypt's borders in search of food and survival during a famine. But in time, that luring promise of food grew bitter. After a few generations, those immigrant Hebrews were forced into slavery by the empire, forced to serve, forced to toil, forced from their ways of life and their practice of faith, forced to build the great cities of the empire and the monuments to its leaders, forced to work day after day with no rest or no Sabbath. The empire claimed their labor, but it also claimed their lives, their identity, their futures. When the enslaved people grew too large in number, the empire instituted policies of genocide to lower the population. The empire turned a deaf ear to the cries of suffering, but their God heard them. Their God, Yahweh, the God of their ancestors, heard their laments, their cries, their songs of sorrow. And their God, our God, moved swiftly to free this people from their enslavement. God sent a leader named Moses, who had been in exile himself, who had fled for his own freedom. God sent him back into the heart of the empire to speak God's truth, to reveal God's kingdom in its full force. Through signs and wonders, too marvelous to wrap our heads around, God convinced those slaves that the power of the empire could not stand. And finally, when the time was right, God told the Hebrews to get ready. As we read this morning, God told them to prepare their last meal as slaves and to eat it with their walking shoes on and their walking sticks in their hands. To eat that last meal in Egypt as fast as they could, because that very night, God was going to pass through the empire and avenge the wrongs that they had suffered, and they would be set free for their journey into freedom. And that's just what happened. When the morning light dawned, the powers of the empire had been broken, and in wrath and anger and defeat, the empire let the slaves go free. They wandered. Boy, did they wander. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, following a path that they did not chart, until, finally, they arrived at the edge of their new homeland, The Jordan River was the boundary into what they called the Promised Land. In our opening hymn, we sang in that final verse, "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside." Crossing into the Promised Land became a symbol not just for that generation, but for generations to come, of the eternal hope in God. And when those wandering slaves, those homeless escapees, finally set foot on the solid ground of freedom, they gave thanks to God. And in act of resistance, they remembered. They remembered all that God had done. They remembered that last meal, that rushed and hurried final meal of slavery. They remembered the bitter taste of the empire, but this time they ate that meal as free people with a home of their own. They ate that Passover meal that year and every single year for thousands and thousands of years as a reminder that their God, our God, is the God of freedom, the God of promise, the God who hears our cries and delivers us from the slavery of the death-dealing empires of our world. That story of Moses and the Hebrews freed from slavery into the Promised Land is a powerful story of resistance to the empires. Resistance shown in following God's path, even when we don't know where it's going. Through the ages, this story has inspired many generations of faithful resistors. In our own country, not that many generations ago, the empires of the world enslaved men and women of a different skin color. The empire of King Cotton was hungry and ravenous, and it developed a taste for destroying the hopes and dreams of an entire race of people. One way of resistance came in remembering, and remembering this story of the Hebrews freed, and remembering through songs like the one we just sang, songs of freedom, songs of hope, songs of promise, of people being let go from slavery. Inspired by these stories, some faithful resistors fled on their own, crossing waters and wildernesses into new promised lands of freedom. And for others, like Harriet Tubman, who was nicknamed Moses, others were sent back down, back into the heart of the empire to lead others, countless others, on their own journey of freedom through the Underground Railroad. I just finished reading a book, a recent book that just came out called The Underground Railroad. You may have read it or heard of it. It won the National Book of the Year last year. It's a fictional and very imaginative, not realistic in many ways, of course, account of an escaped slave navigating through the Underground Railroad. It describes some atrocities that are almost impossible to read. It's not something you want to do right before going to sleep. But there's one part of the book that I can't get out of my head, a very simple, single word, in fact. There's a character in the book who is a slave catcher who makes his living traveling around in the wilderness, catching and returning escaped slaves and living off the rewards from their masters. Anytime the slave catcher is speaking about an African American in the book, he never uses their names. He never uses the pronouns he or she. He always refers to these slaves as it. It. Taking away a sense of even their humanity, any dignity, any individual identity. They are merely its, objects, to be chased and caught and exchanged for money. That's what the empires of the world seek to do to us, to remove our sense of humanity from ourselves and from one another, to reduce us to objects, commodities, statistics. Our lives today are still in so many ways ruled over by the empires of the world. Empires that seek to claim us and enslave us. Empires of greed and scarcity that force us to work ourselves or others to death. Empires of sin and fear that divide us from one another and ultimately divide us from our God. Empires of power and violence that do not think twice about the suffering and death that they deal out. Friends, where do you see the forces of empire at work in your life? What is it that seeks to rule you? What seems to take over beyond your ability to control? To what are you enslaved today? To anger? To bitterness? To addiction? To fear? Fear of someone else? Fear of not having enough? Fear of not being enough? Fear of losing someone we love? Fear of death itself? How does the empire take hold in your life? To what are you enslaved this day? And what might it mean to be set free from that? What would it look like to walk away, to flee in escape from these forces in your life? Trusting that our God can do what we cannot do on our own, what would it look like? What would it mean for you to be set free from the empire's clutching grasp? Friends, the good news of the gospel is that we do not belong to the empires of the world, but that we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our loving, freeing God who calls us out of the bonds of slavery and who calls us to free others as well. Our ultimate freedom from the power of sin and death has already been won for us. The promised land of grace is already a homeland prepared for each and every one of us. And so in these 40 days of preparation, in this season of Lent, I invite you seriously to journey through the wilderness, to wander and to wonder, following God's path, God's plan, God's call in your life to the promised land of freedom. Let's put our walking shoes on and get to work, traveling together into the freedom made real for us in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. To God alone be the glory. Amen.